We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
I'm ready for rapid fire. One of these questions, though, I don't have an answer to yet, and I know you're going to have an amazing answer to it, and I have been racking my brain trying to come up with it, and I have not come up with a good one, so
all right,
it'll be interesting.
Well, I'll see if my answer meets your expectations.
Okay.
I don't know which question it is. Fill in the blank. The most intriguing player on Notre Dame's roster is blank.
I'm sorry. I got to go with the canned answer. It's CJ Carr. He's the most intriguing player to me. And he's not even going to play. So that is probably one of the worst answers possible, but he's still the one that I'm going to be watching the second I walk into practice. Where's number 12? I want to watch him throw the football.
Yep.
So he's the most intriguing to me. Now, if we spin this towards...
And I guess he'll kind of be the most intriguing until and if we actually get to see him on the field in a regular season game, right?
Absolutely. And so I will spin it now towards players that are actually going to play.
Okay, good.
Right?
Good.
Because that's probably more what you were looking for.
Yes.
The most intriguing. Okay, so there's a difference. There's intriguing like storylines. So like competitions, you know, things like that. So I'm staying away from that. So just the player himself, I am going to go with, I know Salty wants me to say Great House, I'm sure. You know what? I'm intrigued with Drake Bowen and what he ends up doing at middle linebacker, because we know what J.D. Bertrand did, and I mean, he was basically a coach on the field, and that defense operated the way it did because of J.D. Bertrand. Those are massive shoes to fill in Al Golden's defense. So I'm very intrigued to watch Drake Bowen and see how he handles being the middle linebacker in this defense on this team. Specifically. So I'm going to go with Drake Bowen.
Okay. That's a good one as well. And we got a late mailbag question in, and we'll nice. We'll follow this question with that, because I think it's a pretty good question. Where were you like 15 minutes ago? I wasn't thinking about CJ Carr, but you're probably right. Maybe he's the most intriguing, or he's at the very least the guy that people are most interested in, I guess, at this point, after the...
It's the shiny new toy effect. Yeah. I mean, and he's really, really talented. I mean, I'm always going to be looking for number 12 when I walk in. Always.
I'm going to go with Boubacar Traore.
Nice.
Though. He is my most intriguing guy because of what specifically is going on at that Viper end position. They have to figure out, they've got to get more production out of that Viper end than what they got last year, basically, but we're still waiting for Botello. We didn't see any Like we saw maybe a couple of hints from Botello between the jersey scrimmage and the blue gold game. That's something there. We really didn't see the rise from Junior Tui Alamaka, but we did see big flashes from Boubacar. And is that actually going to translate into something in the fall? That's what makes him the most intriguing to me, because that is a position of great need. And if he can step up and help fill that void, who knows, maybe even, kind of take it over by the time things are all said and done. That's what makes him the most intriguing to me right now.
I like it.
Okay. So now, before we get to that,
yes,
USMA 87 nominated Bo Collins. I think that's a good one as well.
That is a good one because we don't
get to see any of him. Yeah. That makes him very intriguing. There's a great shroud of mystery in terms of how Bo Collins is going to fit into that.
I like it.
Yes.
Because it's true, though, because we've seen him at Clemson. And obviously, this isn't Clemson. And so what is he going to look like at Notre Dame? What's that going to look like? Absolutely. I think that's a really good one, actually.
I think so as well. And then Craig D said, love the intrigue for Jeremiah Love. And I think, maybe the intrigue is, I don't want to speak for Craig, but I mean, there's at least some intrigue there in terms of, we've seen guys dabble with sort of doing different things in the spring that doesn't always translate to the season as well. But
he's going to be really, really good. The only reason it's not intriguing to me is because I feel like I know how good he's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that it's like, I just know. He'll be a dud. But I feel like he's going to be very, very good. So it's not like I have a whole lot of question marks about him.
Right. Okay, so the question Carlos had, he says, so I know we're over scholarships that are being said. Could Notre Dame do something like Miami did and put kids like Bowen and Faison on their respective sports scholarship books? Now, I can't speak to – I haven't heard that Miami did this.
It's illegal, I'm pretty sure.
Right, like you can't do it for one. There are a couple different pieces to this. Like Faison, remember – was a walk-on with the football team and on scholarship with lacrosse last fall. But as soon as Faison took one snap in an actual football game, the football team had to put him on football scholarship. And the reason is, like you just said, it's against the rules because you're basically trying to hide, a football player with a scholarship from a different team, on a different team, on your campus, and you can't do that. And in both of these sports specifically, baseball and lacrosse, those are both partial scholarships. So that's another reason that you can't do it, because they wouldn't even be getting full scholarships if they were, on scholarship for those teams. And as you said, it's against the rules. So I don't know exactly what he's referring to with Miami, but maybe they're bringing guys in the door who are playing two different sports, and they might ultimately end up on a football scholarship, but they're, giving them these scholarships with these other sports to begin with. But essentially, as soon as you play football, because it's a full scholarship, then you have to be on a football scholarship.
Can you imagine what some schools would do? They would have I'm just putting out randomness, but a men's field hockey team, and they would just load it up with a bunch of football players so that they could have, 110 guys on scholarship, but then just use the field hockey team on the football team. You know what I mean? Like there would be schools that would be hiding players all over the place in all of these random
sports. It lets you cheat the 85-man scholarship limit is what it does.
100%.
If you did that. And that's why as soon as you play football, you have to be on a football scholarship.
Yes. All of a sudden teams would have rowing teams and they would have all these different things. And hey, look at these two sport athletes, on the rowing scholarship, but he also happens to be a five-star quarterback or so, it would be ridiculous is what it would be. And so,
So Carlos is going back. He says back in the day, he was talking about the Miami 30 for 30. Well, again, I don't know when the rule changed, but it's a rule now that you can't do that. And that's the reason, Miami might be the reason why,
that's true.
Ultimately
I didn't even know it was a rule until the Faison thing occurred. to be honest with you.
I didn't realize that, like, you know, the minute you play one down, you have to change. But like from a lacrosse, like I can speak to, you know, having, you know, been there when, you know, like Jeff Samardzija and Eric Moss, like people forget about Eric Moss. Remember the Notre Dame? He was a punter and he was also a pitcher for the baseball team. Golden Tate, you know, all those different guys like that, like the baseball team, you know, like they like that because that's like one guy that they don't have to worry because they only have 11.7 scholarships.
Right.
That's the guy they don't have to worry about. They've got, he's on a full scholarship with a different sport. And that means that they can go out and bring in another player and give somebody else some scholarship money because they don't have to worry about that football player because, you know, he's got everything taken care of.
Oh, it's totally beneficial to these other sports, you know, totally beneficial. But when there's conflicts, football's going to win. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? So that's just, it's just how it is. Just how it is.
Right. But it's a good question though, Carlos, just because I think that there probably is some misconception, like for some people, you know, because everyone's worried about, well, how are you going to get around the scholarship limit and all that kind of stuff? Well, can't you just put these guys back on the scholarship with their other sports? You can't do that because, and that's the specific reason why, is so that the football team doesn't try to finagle its way around the 85-man limit by stashing guys on scholarship on other sports.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just saw on Twitter, Bryce McPherson committed to Maryland.
Okay.
Didn't see that one coming.
I think I might have heard, like, some people talking about he might be headed out.
Okay.
Or something.
It was about a half hour ago he put it out there.
Interesting. Okay. Be curious to see if, you know, if he's got, you know, like big fat endorsements.
Yeah, right.
As the
100%.
Like what's 100%. Going on with that? So Ballpeen Shillelagh says, curious if less players transferring in the portal will affect Freeman's ability to add guys to fill talent holes in the roster. He says, though I love guys staying, great culture. So what do you think about that? Like, could do you think that that could be affected, those needs that they do need to address? Or do you think that he basically, you know, sort of still finds ways to get that done?
The short answer is no, I don't. Because if he finds somebody that he really wants to bring in that's going to make his roster better, he'll figure out a way to bring him in and make his roster better. You know, again, whether that's just letting a guy know, hey, it's time to transfer, or we're letting a guy know, hey, it's time to go on medical scholarship, or just saying, we don't have a scholarship for you anymore. I mean, and that's a crappy conversation to have with a kid. But at the end of the day, it is Marcus Freeman's responsibility to have the best roster he can put together, and he will, you know, and whether that means he has to have a tough conversation with a kid or not.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there are going to be some conversations where he's probably just going to have to flat out say,
right,
look, if you want to play football, it's not going to stay here. If you stay here, we're going to, you know, we honor your scholarship, because that's what they'll do, but it's not going to be on the football team, like that kind of thing. And whether it's medical or otherwise, that, you know, the conversations do get tougher when guys decide to stay. I mean, you love the fact that guys want to stay and, you know, be with the team and fight for spots, you know, like starting spots and depth chart and whatever else. But the bottom line is there are needs that they've got to address, and they're going to have some tough conversations now to make that happen, because they're still going to have to field a football team.
Yeah. Right. And again, at the end of the day, that's his responsibility, right? I mean, he has to field the best possible team that he possibly can. And that's, sometimes that means having some tough conversations with people.
Chief Brody says, why do they want to stay so bad?
Why do they want to stay on the roster?
Why do they want to stay so bad?
Notre Dame degree. You know,
maybe they love their team.
I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, look, people are on teams and they form relationships with their teammates and their coaches and their professors and friends on campus. And sometimes it's not just all about football. You know, and you got a scholarship to play at Notre Dame. If they're going to keep giving it to you, take it. You know, I have no problem with guys that want to stick around. None whatsoever. Nope. You know, and I hope it works out for them. Some of it might not, but some of them might.
So, Vince, we recently talked about Newt Rockne's first home in South Bend being moved to make way for new housing that was being built. Well, over the weekend, Newt Rockne was literally moved.
Exhumed.
He was exhumed at Highland Cemetery. He, his wife, and his son and grandsons were all exhumed and reburied in the cemetery over at Notre Dame. So I'm curious, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. What do you think about this?
First of all, I had no idea that this happened until it already happened when it got like hit social media or whatever.
I guess they closed down the cemetery on Sunday and like you couldn't get in or out or any of that.
Crazy.
Stuff.
Absolute craziness. I think it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Newt Rockne is a very important figure in Notre Dame history and the foundation of Notre Dame football and all of those different things. By moving him and obviously his loved ones to Notre Dame, you ensure the fact that nothing's ever going to happen to their graves and to, you know, their coffins and bodies and all of that stuff. You can't really make that claim at just a random cemetery in South Bend, because you just never know. Maybe it gets bulldozed over. Maybe, you know, maybe all this good stuff, different stuff can happen. I mean, they moved his house for new housing, for goodness sakes.
Right.
What's to stop people from moving him? And so I think putting him at Notre Dame at least ensures everything is going to be fine and he has a final resting place that is safe forever.
Had you ever been out to Highland Cemetery to see his grave or anything? I had
never.
Like within a year or two after I moved here, someone who I worked with, who was a Notre Dame alum, you know, was like, hey, I know where Newt Rockne is buried. So we went out there one day because it wasn't far from the radio station that I worked at. It was only a couple miles
away. It's out that way.
And it was literally, you know, like Highland Cemetery. It's like you kind of go in and then, you know, you kind of like maybe veered to the left. You didn't have to go far. And it was literally, you know, how cemeteries are with, you know, the streets and you know, like the little, the roads are relatively narrow, but it literally sat kind of on this corner and there was a big headstone there, you know, Newt Rockne in the whole thing, but it was just like right there, you know, so it was very accessible, which, you know, I always thought was kind of cool. It's like if anyone knew, you know, and a few years later, a friend of mine came to town and we went out there and we, you know, checked it out and all that kind of stuff. But I guess that's I did see, I think the granddaughter said, you know, like people were putting cigars out on the headstone and just, you know, like not the kind of stuff that you would want, you know, to see done. You know, so I think they definitely feel like it'll be, they'll all be more secure and better taken care of at Notre Dame out at Highland Cemetery, you know, so.
Good call.
But it was very interesting. Like you said, I had no idea this was happening until after some of the stories started popping up over the weekend.
Right.
That it happened.
Yeah. Makes sense though.
And his, like, you remember his plane went down where, you know, he died in Kansas, and that was it was only like an hour and a half, I think, from where I lived in Kansas out there. So it wasn't very far away.
But, so it's your fault.
Yeah. Because the 1930s, I'm the one who sent the gangsters, the mobsters.
It's your fault.
Right. Fill in the blank. If you could change any rule in sports, it would be blank. Is this the one you're struggling with?
This is the one. I like, this is too so broad of a question because there's so many sporting events that I'm sure there's a million that bother me in the moment. But like, my brain doesn't work that way. Like I can't like narrow it down. That's my problem. You know what I mean? Like I would, and it's not even a rule, but like I want the Super Bowl to start at 3. You know what I mean? Like those are the things that I want to occur. I want college football's national championship to not be on a Monday. You know, I couldn't come up with any rules. What do you got?
I like know both got of those. You know, like the start times, are they technically rules? No. They're not rules, but I would, you know, like I would go for both of those actually. Maybe even over what I'm going to say. Like Joe says Super Bowl on a Saturday. I wouldn't mind seeing that because then you got Sunday. And you don't have to worry about going to work the next day and all that different kind of stuff. Minus the targeting rule in college football.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. Terrible.
The targeting rule. And I still want to change. My thing is first, you know, like if you're going to throw a flag for targeting, first incident, just make it a 15-yard standard personal foul. If they do it a second time in a game, then you can eject. I've just always thought that there's way too much subjectivity involved in this targeting because even, like the guys on the field and the people in the booth, I think that they all just apply their own opinions to whether or not they actually think it is. And it's just, there's so much gray area involved that I don't think a guy should be ejected on the first instance in a game. Do it on the second.
I like it.
Not the first.
I'm on board. I will second the motion on that. They need to revamp the entire replay system in college football too.
Yeah.
The NFL replay system.
That's a good one actually too. Yep.
You know what
just
I mean?
Go to that. Just go to the NFL one, rule. I don't understand why college sticks with
so convoluted. In college, I don't understand what's reviewable, what's not reviewable, when can a coach challenge, when they cannot. It makes no sense to me. So they need to revamp. They just need to go to – you don't even need to revamp it. College rule, gone. NFL rule, in college.
Yep.
I'll even spring for the red hanky. Like,
that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. I love it. John says he does not like the runner at second base in extra innings.
Hate it. Hate it.
I don't like it either, but I understand.
Yeah.
I understand why baseball is doing it. Basically, they need to expand the rosters is what they need.
To do.
Because, the reason they're doing it is because they want to, you know, they don't want these marathon games because they don't want to burn out all the pitching.
Sure.
An 18, 15 or 18 inning game or whatever it happens to be. So they're just trying to get it over quicker. I will say there is a lot more action, you know, that tends to happen in extra. It's kind of ironic. You almost have more action in extra innings these days than sometimes you have in the game. But the game has become so bullpen reliant that that's why they've done it. Like I said, just expand the rosters. But I agree. Like I've always thought it's obviously like a very little league thing to do. And
yeah, I don't like
that you're doing it at a major league game. I don't like it either.
And I knew I wouldn't like the big ass bases that they use now, but like I've gotten used to it, I guess. I still think it looks goofy. I still think it looks like senior softball.
It's funny because I haven't really I don't even notice it that much, the size of the bases out there.
I noticed it more when it first happened, and now it's kind of just blending in. And so I guess it is what it is.
Yeah. Joe wants them to go back to sudden death in football. First team who wins scores. Well, I mean, those were fun to be able to say sudden death overtime.
Sure.
But
sure.
They're not going backwards now because they, you know, everyone fought tooth and nail to make sure that both teams.
Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets a chance. That's kind of a par. That's on par with like the everybody gets a trophy rule, man. Like everybody gets to touch the football. All right. I don't know. I tend to agree with going back to first one wins.
DK says football should get penalty boxes to fight. Now that would make things interesting.
Yes, it would. They have to keep their helmet on. My favorite's when football players get in a fight and they start punching each other in the helmet.
Yeah, I know.
So stupid.
It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, man?
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tommy says you're missing my most superly important mailbag.
Uh-oh. Question.
You're going to have to resubmit, Tommy, because I'm not sure exactly
missed
what it is.
Missed I brought your stuff up before, man.
Somehow.
You made a good point earlier. I brought it up, but I didn't see a question.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
I was just looking. Still haven't got that response from Jesse, by the way. I do see that he's got his notifications silenced. So.
Point of order, when somebody's got their notifications silent and it says, you know, do you want to notify anyway? Every time. I want to notify anyway. Every time. Don't give me the option. Don't give me the option if you don't want me to do it.
That's
I
right.
will notify you every time.
That's right.
Because when I'm sending a text, I want an answer, right? I want an answer. If I didn't want an immediate answer, I'd send you an email.
Yep. John says Jesse's sleeping. He might be. He might be taking a nap right now. I don't know.
Probably getting ready for a big night out.
He's actually been doing some work for me this week, so I can't give him too much of a hard time.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So Ryan Sandberg is going to be the fifth Chicago Cub to get a statue outside Wrigley Field. You good with that?
I am so good with that. I think that's long overdue, to be honest with you. I don't know what spurned the fact that they want to do this now. I don't know if it's his cancer scare or you know, whatever the case may be, but I think it's long overdue. He's one of the great players in Cubs history. I almost said that, you know, well, for the next question, I'll get back to it. But like
okay.
This one, I think Ryan Sandberg absolutely deserves a statue out front. Absolutely. That's my Ryan Sandberg bat right there. It's on every show.
Is it?
Signed by Rhino. Right. Yeah, man.
I don't think I realized that.
Yep. It was when, so I got this bat. And it's got etched into it, like all of his career highlights and like, you know, his MVP and all that. And it's got, you know, a fake signature that's emblazoned into the wood. Well, back when he was coaching the single A Peoria Chiefs. They came to town to play the single A, I think they were the Silver Hawks at the time. Obviously, they were not the South Bend Cubs. And I took my bat with me, and I was able to get it actually signed. So he actually signed it right above the wood etching signature. And one of my players made me a thing to hold it up on the wall in wood shop. And so it's been hanging on my wall ever since.
Love it.
There's your story.
So he's going to be the fifth. Ernie Banks, yep. Billy Williams, Ron Santo, Ferguson Jenkins, Harry Carey all have statues currently at Wrigley Field.
I think he fits right into that group.
I think so as well. You know, and they built that new area outside on the left field side. So I don't know exactly where they're going to put it, but it seems like you got a chance to kind of put, you know, like more statues out there.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. So my next question is, speaking of next day, and I love it as well. I mean, like, of all the guys who I think that you would put a statue out there of, like Ron, Ryne Sandberg makes the most sense.
Yes.
Sosa obviously would have at one point, but that obviously changed about 20 years ago.
Right? Yeah. And he has a chance. I believe they're kind of making up at the moment. It sounds like he's going to be coming back at some point. So, you know, maybe he can kind of get his good graces back, but I don't know if it's going to be enough for a statue.
Yeah, I think he'll have a tough time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can honor him at the stadium, you know, that kind of like come back at the standing O, you know, all of those different things. But I think he's a far cry away from getting a statue. But I would not be upset about a Sammy Sosa statue. I really wouldn't be.
Here's my question, though.
This is a tough one.
They just won a world championship, breaking a, you know, century-old drought
in they
2016. So does someone from that team need a statue at Wrigley Field?
No, they don't. I don't know who you would – I don't know who it would be. I really don't, because it was kind of a – it was a very team-oriented World Series. There was different heroes on different nights and, you know, different things like that. And frankly, nobody was on that team long enough to get a statue.
And that's the problem. Kyle Hendricks is the only guy who is even still left from that team, which is amazing that it was only 8 years ago. And that's all that's left right now. But
and I wouldn't make it him. I'm just saying, to your point, he is the longest tenured guy. He doesn't deserve a statue.
Does Joe Madden, like, because he's the manager who brought it home? Does Joe Madden deserve, or like, does Theo?
You know what I would.
Theo deserve a statue?
You know what I would do? Well, no, because he went back to the Red Sox.
but the problem with all of those guys is even Madden is gone. You know, I guess is my point.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Like,
nobody is around from that team.
What I would do, because it's an iconic picture, if you're a Cubs fan, is the kind of mob on the mound after they won the, you know, game 7 and all that. And they're all, the whole team is standing, because it wasn't like an on the ground mob. They're all standing with all their backs, you know, and they're all right. Do a statue of that with the whole team right there. That I could get on board with to commemorate the World Series.
That wouldn't be bad, but that's kind of like goes against your everyone gets a trophy thing, though, doesn't it?
Well, like, the team got the trophy.
I see what you're saying. The team did get a trophy,
right?
But that's a lot of trophy to build if you're going to do, you know, like the mob scene.
It is, but that I don't think anybody stands out. You know what I mean? Like it's
the problem is it should have been Rizzo, and like they should have re-signed Rizzo.
Yes,
Rizzo should still be on the team right now,
and he would get a statue,
and he would be thought of as the, you know, like the lasting legacy.
They blew it
to that, and then he would get a statue.
They would absolutely blew it because he is the one that I would have picked because he was there at the beginning of the rebuild. He was there for the big time. And then he bolted, not all his fault, but yes, I absolutely, he would have been the one for me.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, like if Madden had worked out and he was still around, because I could be almost 10 years later at this point, I think he would make sense.
Sure. But you got an argument there.
It's just crazy that like,
everybody left.
You know, again, it's not going to be Kyle Hendricks, but basically that whole team is just long gone.
Right. I mean, it's not like
it's only been 8 years ago.
It's not like the Florida Marlins, you know, and they were literally all there for 1 year. Like, it's not that bad. But the core was there for a little while, but not long enough for for legendary stat. That team will always be legendary. I just don't know that anybody in particular will be.
Tommy now is coming after you
about yeah, he is.
Everything that he can.
When did I ever say I hate vets?
I know.
I mean, yeah, I hate kids. I hate kids, losers.
You hate vets. Who else do you hate? Losers?
Apparently. I mean, I'm in education, so I don't know if I can say I hate kids, but.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight. Again, we're going to talk a little hoops on tomorrow's show.
Okay. Thought that said something else, Chief.
I know.
Wow. I was like, dang. But no, he just said Jaws. Okay.
Oh. Oh, so Tommy's coming. No, we're not going to talk about that on this show, Tommy. Sorry. That's not. We're not going down.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's an off the air conversation right there.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, that is going to do it for tonight. Again, Tom Noy will be here tomorrow. We'll talk a little hoops. Jesse will be in after that. We'll have some rapid fire with him. I think we're all three together on Friday for
the rapid fire. That's the plan.
Right?
That is the plan. Yep.
All right. Awesome. So we got that coming up on Friday. And don't forget, Friday is a 5 o'clock show because some people do forget about that. Might have to post something on the boards to kind of remind people about that on Friday. So hit that like button. We do appreciate it, and it helps us out greatly. And of course, subscribe, rate, review, listen to your Irish Breakdown podcasts as well. Vince, I will talk to you later.
We'll talk to
you else tomorrow on IBD. Woo!